Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Jacob and Aki hanging out. How are you two idiots doing?
I mean, not as sick as Aki, apparently.
I'm just really overheated. When I get super overheated, I start having asthma attacks.
I didn't know Jacob made you feel that way.
Yeah, I know. I just start talking
like hell.
All of a sudden, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm so overheated.
I'm so hot right now. Jacob's voice has me all revved up.
That makes me want to vomit in my mouth.
Aki listens to Napoleon Dynamite as like an ASMR video.
I've never watched that show because I can't stand that dude's voice.
You're like, do you know you fat lard? You're like, oh, yeah.
I saw the commercials for that and I was like, no, I have no interest in that bullshit.
Well, you know what everyone here has interest in? Friends joining us. And we've got
friends?
Yes.
Which, wait, who? Who? Oh,
like you, first off.
I don't have any friends. I'm 37 with two kids.
Fair. Okay. But yeah, Doc Havoc is here. Ian, how are you doing?
Doing all right.
How have you been?
Oh, yeah. Hot, sweaty. Blech.
Man, everybody gets all hot and sweaty when I come on the show.
I'm going to vomit.
Whoops, that's my kink.
Oh, Jesus. So, Ian, what have you been up to lately? It's been a while since you've been on the show. How have you been? How's things going?
Things are going good. Just, you know, doing usual real life stuff with things, grind.
Your mic is, like, cutting in and out. I'm not sure what's going on.
All right, hold on a second. Let me...
He's very soft-spoken tonight.
Yeah, I have your volume boosted, and it's...
I have no idea why.
You're kind of like garbled too. Is anyone else hearing that?
Yeah,
it's garbled for me. I'm not here. I don't think I'm hearing.
Hold on, let me shut some shit down because I think what's happening is that I have something open in the background that's trying to monopolize mic use, despite the fact that I disabled it.
Okay, yeah, you're a lot better right now.
Yeah. Okay, that explains it. I had Apex Legends open in the background, and that game is just
ew.
Okay. Now, do I keep all that, or do I start the show over?
Meh. Just keep going.
Laziness wins again. God damn it, Jacob. Why do you fuck things up so much?
How did I fuck things up?
You said to blame you, so I did. Take this one up with him. I mean, I'm just doing what I'm told.
Oh. All right.
Oh, man. So, should we just... Everyone talks at once, and then no one talks. I don't know how to handle
this. Take it, Mr. Slave.
Oh, man. This is like the show of old.
Ah, the old days. Speaking of the old days.
When it was complete shit.
It's always been shit.
I was going to say, has that fucking changed
there
at
all?
There
has never been a non-shit period of this show.
Yes, it's just evolved into a higher class of shit.
Yes, it's like different tones, different shades and colors of shit. But
different consistencies.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, so is this like the hot diarrhea phase, or is this like the rock hard constipation? Like,
I don't know. I was kind of thinking. I was thinking Friday Night Special at the Borough Loco.
Okay, so
that means.
All right, so ass piss coming out of your butt so hot you could sacrifice a virgin on top of it. Got it. Got it.
Or as I like to call it, booty splash.
Ah, the classic booty slash.
The inverted Mount Vesuvius.
Poseidon's kiss.
And this is how I know God doesn't exist. If it did, he would have killed me by now.
Hey, Joe, why aren't your videos monetized on YouTube?
Usually I would say, because I say fuck every, like, eighth word and...
Yeah, that's part of it.
How I speak, but...
Yeah, that's definitely part of it.
I mean, even if you went through all the hoops... We still wouldn't be making any money.
True. Actually, we apparently made enough hoops that we're monetized on YouTube now. So I'm expecting a check for 40 cents any day now.
Really?
No.
Yeah, no, I don't think they send money out until you hit 100.
Yeah, no. It'll take forever to
hit. You can buy a piece of Laffy Taffy with that.
Not an anymore. Animal. You're ancient.
No. Like the little eeny weeny, like imagine, like, you know how the bulk bags, like, you get for like Halloween, like the little square inch size pieces of Laffy Taffy.
I don't even know what Laffy Taffy is.
How the fuck do you not know what Laffy Taffy?
It's fucking taffy.
Were you a child in America for the last like 30 years?
No, but what does that have to do with?
Wait, what do you mean no?
I haven't lived in the U.S. my entire life.
Oh yeah, shit. All right, now we seem like assholes.
I've lived in it most of my life.
How don't you know what the fuck Laffy Taffy is? Everyone knows what Laffy Taffy is. It's fucking taffy. It's flavored taffy.
Yeah, I don't know what taffy is. I've never had taffy, so I don't know what that is. So I don't know what Laffy Taffy is. I get that it's
flavored taffy. I'll let Laffy Taffy slide, but if you have no idea what taffy is in general, then I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's fucking taffy.
Chewy sugar candy. Like,
yeah.
Shit. Okay, that's kind of
like, it's like a harder gummy. Have you ever had like a Turkish delight?
I think so.
Turkish paste?
I think so. That sounds familiar.
It's kind of like that, except flattened and like a little bit softer.
Oh, okay. Okay, I think I get what you're saying.
It's like solidified cotton candy.
I like cotton candy.
It's a very pure chewy, sugar. I'm trying to think. It's because I almost want to kind of compare it to gum, but it's.
I know what gum is too.
Gum is a fair comparison. Gum is.
It's like a really dense, chewy gum that you're meant to swallow.
Yeah.
Okay. That explains why.
It can be literally flavored with anything.
That explains why I've never had it. I don't particularly like really chewy candy.
Yeah, we're going to have to get you some Laffy Taffy, though.
Yeah,
I was going to say, because Laffy Taffy isn't particularly chewy, so.
Oh, okay.
Like, Laffy Taffy is the sort of stuff that, like, is absolutely delicious until you hit puberty. And then once you actually have a discernible dining palate, like, you'll never touch it again.
Oh, that's an absolute lie. I totally steal it from my kids' Halloween things.
Yeah.
Well, it's one thing to steal from your kids' Halloween, but it's not like you go out of your way to buy it for yourself.
Yeah, see, I don't know, when I'm at five below.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you know, if they sold, like, the strawberry Laffy Taffy by itself, I would be all over that.
Oh.
Go to five below, man.
I like strawberry.
They just have, like, a la carte candy for, like, a quarter or 10 cents each, like the old days.
I've never heard of five below.
It's a store where, like, everything is $5 and under, except for now they have stuff that's over $5. So it's still...
It's a shittier Dollar Tree. Okay, a shittier Dollar Tree.
All right. No, it's a better Dollar Tree.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Dollar Tree's a buck and under.
Yeah.
This is $5. Yeah. So it's like exponential growth.
Yeah, sometimes you could find like awesome like action figures there and stuff like that. Like,
you could find Xbox games there for $5.
That's true, yeah.
Holy shit.
They're usually shitty.
I got Dark Star 1 there for $5.
Darkster. I don't know that game.
Exactly.
It was a space flight sim.
Jacob got Tulip there.
No, I didn't. I got
you
that
didn't
at
get
Walmart.
It there. Oh, I've seen Tulip at fucking Five Below before, and now that game is worth hundreds.
Oh god,
damn.
Yeah, like $200-$300.
See, the only candy I've ever really particularly liked was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. So that's like 90% of the candy I've eaten is just that.
That's fine.
Nope. Do you like Reese's Pieces as well?
No.
What?
Reese's Pieces are probably like the most blandest candy I've ever had.
Yeah, they were. I've had them once and they were garbage.
I mean, I tried to get into Reese's Pieces once upon a time, and it's just like, it's like I'm eating substance that is purely devoid of flavor.
It doesn't taste
like peanut butter at all. No, it doesn't. It most certainly doesn't.
No, it does not. Not even remotely.
No, it tastes like fake peanut butter.
It doesn't even taste like fake peanut butter.
I only get the shell taste out of it, which is like nothing.
That's because I break into your house, suck out all the fake peanut butter, and then just carefully put it back.
I wouldn't have been shocked because I got the only time I've ever had it was at Dairy Queen in a blizzard. Because they, for some reason, when I asked for Reese's, they put Reese's Pieces instead of Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, which is the only thing that should ever be in one. But, you know, hey, whatever. Yeah. And it was garbage. Yeah, I hated it.
Like, I don't dislike it. It's just, like I said, it just has no, it's like eating straight flavorless tofu.
I mean, you can eat it, but I don't like it. I think it's gross.
Yeah. Like, to me, there's just no flavor. It just feels like, I don't know, it's just weird in that regard to me. Like, yeah, I think it because it's like, it's substance without flavor. How is this even physically
I think the possible? Reese's Pieces, I think they have too much shell. I don't think they quite figured out the right shell to anything the fuck else consistency. Yeah. So it's like 90% shell and 10% air. Gross. I hate it. But anyways, I guess
video it's games now.
I was just watching this Taffy Mayo Sheen gif, and I completely realized that, like, you know, when I was a kid, I could stare at this fucking thing for hours. It's like visual ASMR.
Well, yeah, like they have them at the fair.
I just noticed that. That's pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
That.
And we at our state fair, the Bloomsburg Fair, they'll always have some taffy stands, and they'll have it churning, and it's just fun to watch it go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's like visual ASMR. It's just like you can just sit there and watch it, and
yeah,
how it gets folded and
oddly satisfying.
That thing just looks like if you had asbestos and mixed it with a lot of Pepto-Bismol.
Fair.
True.
That is
the forbidden cotton candy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we said, like taffy is at its core basically like a sugar candy, so you could flavor it with literally anything. The color is dye, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just there to make sure you know which flavor is which. But it's okay. But taffy can be as refined as, like, you ever have gourmet jelly beans?
No, I don't think
I have.
So.
Yeah.
I've had standard ones.
I don't know, maybe it's like jelly beans. Yeah, but they can get incorrect.
Like, that was because really you were eating quality boogers and jelly beans at the same time.
That is true.
Mm. Yeah. Like, I'd never touch the, I forgot what they're called, but like the Harry Potter ones with all the, like,
they're not called that anymore. I forget what they're called.
Was it Bamboozled? Is that the one?
I think it's, yeah. Like,
yeah, it's like each color scheme has like a pleasant flavor and a fucking nasty shit flavor.
Yeah, I heard one was like grass clippings and another was dirt or something.
Yeah.
I was
like, yeah. Yeah. Like there's a brown one and you're either going to get like chocolate pudding or dirt. And then the green one is like, one of the green ones used to be like, yeah, it was like key lime or vomit.
Oh, hell.
And you never knew which one you were going to get until you popped it in your mouth and cried in a river.
Yeah. On the flip side, their buttered popcorn jelly beans are fucking amazing.
I am so on the fence about those things. Like, I'll have a couple and I'm like, all right, these are amazing and they're really good. But then if you hand me like a handful of them, it is the worst fucking flavor of all time.
Well, that's flavor overload.
You're not supposed to eat them by the handful. Like, you're supposed to get a variety pack and eat one at a time.
First off,
or mix and match for custom, you know, combinations.
All right. First off, the idea that you're not supposed to like eat like handfuls of jelly beans at one time, that's a complete fucking lie. And that is pretty much the only thing that Phaeton, aka Ronald Reagan, and I would ever agree on.
What?
And also,
Nancy Reagan have anything to do with this?
Seriously, what the fuck does Reagan have to? Where did that come from?
Here's the thing. If you have like the plain Jane regular jelly beans, then yeah, you chow those things by the handful. But if you get your gourmet jelly beans, no, you eat those.
Yeah, if you're paying for Jelly Belly,
or in very carefully crafted combinations.
All right, so Joe, Ronald Reagan famously like loved jelly beans. He actually had a jar of them on his desk at the Oval Office. Probably to eat after Nancy got done blowing them, but you know.
Yeah, to each their own.
Why?
Why? Because she was the throat goat.
And sometimes you just need that little hit of sugar after a knob job.
So, video games. We should probably get to video game news.
Nancy.
Yeah, PlayStation Plus has a... Fuck, I don't know how to handle that. How do you segue from that?
I don't know. I think
you just smash cut it, Joe.
Speaking of getting blown, PlayStation Plus is here.
Ronald Reagan impressions.
Talk about sucking. We have news about PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
There you go.
Actually, the games joining the PS Plus Extra tier, really, really solid lineup. The games joining the Premium tier, really, really lackluster and shit. So let's go with the Extra. That's the mid tier. They are getting Stray, which is a launch to PS4 and PS5, Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, Marvel's Avengers, Assassin's Creed Unity, Black Flag, Rogue Remastered, Freedom Cry, and the Ezio Collection.
Okay, all Saints of them good except for Unity.
Saints Row 4 Reelected and Get Out of Hell, Spirit of the North for PS5. And then Jacob's lineup, Ice Age, Scrat's Nutty Adventure, Jumanji, the video game, and Paw Patrol on a Roll.
I mean, I've played Paw Patrol on a Roll. It is the most solid out of all of the Paw Patrol games. So, you know.
And then,
or wait, no, it's not. Sorry. Wrong one. I was thinking of the second game, the Mighty Pups.
No one cares. And then Ready Set Heroes is joining. The premium tier, this is the top tier. Like, this is what you're paying the big bucks for. The Classics Collection is adding a whopping 2 games.
Yippee.
No Heroes Allowed for the PSP and Loco Roco Midnight Carnival for the PSP. Those are the only 2 that were announced. That's it.
I don't even know what either of those are, personally.
Sign me up.
The fact that there's only 2 for the premium lineup... Like, they touted this premium collection of retro games, and it's been shit so far. It's been really lackluster. There's, like, 30 games, if that.
I mean, realistically speaking, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They were always against doing shit like this. Now they're doing it. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
And from what it's I can tell, they're not even, like, properly emulating the old games. They're just repackaging them in emulators as PS5 games. I mean, it's cool because they add trophies, but they're not, like, remastering anything. Like, I don't know. There is a rumored lineup of 3 other games that are supposedly coming to the premium tier. No confirmation on it yet, but they add Dino Crisis for the PS1, Ridge Racer 2 for the PSP, and Soul Calibur Broken Destiny for the PSP.
Yippee.
Better than just 2, but I don't know.
I'm a little disappointed you didn't say Ridge Racer.
No, I'm good. Ubisoft has come out and stated that current owners of Assassin's Creed Liberation HD will still be able to play, access, and download it after it's delisted, as opposed to the previous wording on Steam saying that it would be completely unplayable. They're also apparently working on the DLC issue coming up, where DLC would be unusable for many soon to be deactivated legacy titles on PC. So, Aki, that's what you were talking about last week, where some DLC would be disappearing forever. They are working on it and hoping to address that. So, fingers crossed, we get some good news in the end.
Yeah. Well, the only reason what was really funny is immediately after they said that Liberation and such was just going to be gone, you weren't going to be able to ever play it again, everyone got pissed. And then they were like, oh, we didn't mean that. You guys definitely fucking meant that. You just saw how pissed off people were.
People went back and reread the press release. They'd never updated or changed anything. It's just the wording was bad.
I think they intended to make it completely unplayable. And they just changed their mind because everyone got pissed off. That's one of the best ones. Get to play as Aveline in that one. It's fantastic.
Anyway, due to the poor reception of Grand Theft Auto Trilogy, you know, because it was shitty, Rockstar has allegedly shelved remasters of Red Dead 1 and GTA 4, as well as the Xbox Series and PS5 versions of Red Dead 2.
I'm sorry, Joe, but I didn't hear the air quotes around remasters.
They were there, trust me.
Okay, just making sure.
It was very sarcastic when I said it. No. Yeah, it's a shame that they handed the trilogy to, like, a mobile studio, and then it did poorly, and they're like, oops, I guess we're canceling all our remasters and focusing on GTA Online. Buy shark cards, kids. It sucks. Yeah. Like, do more.
The only reason, you know, the funny thing is, the only reason GTAO is still a thing is because of the RP communities that operate independent of Rockstar. They have their own custom servers. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I think it's only alive because there's a handful of people who still spend a lot of money on those fucking shark cards.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely whales out there.
Well, and GTA also Rockstar whales. Really heavily support. Yeah. Rockstar heavily supports the idea if you can't beat them, pay to join them.
Very much so.
Yeah, fair.
But once all those whales are gone, that game is dead. They're going to immediately dump it. Oh, they'll go away eventually. There's going to be another big game that they can spend thousands upon thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Red Dead Online, but it didn't turn out the way they wanted. So now everyone's going back to GTA Online.
Well, yeah. And it's kind of funny how Rockstar intentionally hamstrung the shit out of GTAO because people figured out how to have fun, and apparently Rockstar's not cool with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds kind of, you know, like a subjective hot take and opinion.
It's really not.
They intentionally destroyed the game's economy on, I want to say, like 3 to 4 different patches because people found, you know, and it wasn't even like, you know, like game exploits or anything like that. People just found very efficient means by way of making money in the online game. So basically Rockstar nerfed the shit out of it and inflated the fuck out of the economy until it just was laughably ridiculous.
Yep, they did that with Red Dead 2. That's what killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, speaking of games that are being remade, The Last of Us Part 1 has gone gold ahead of its September 2nd release. So, nice. Yeah, Sony re-releasing The Last of Us again. But this time a remake instead of a remaster. I don't know. It feels like it's too early for a remake of this game. I don't get it.
I only care about the fact that they're putting it on other things than just the PlayStation.
I think the problem is that there's been a lot of abuse with the nomenclature because there's been a lot of people that have put out quote unquote remasters that were not by definition. Yeah, but not by definition a remaster. You know, for example, GTA. It's like that wasn't a remaster. That was just an updated port of their mobile shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sort of like how, you know, alpha and beta and early access have slowly turned into these really obnoxiously subjective blanket terms for whatever, you know, fits the convenience of the situation.
Yeah, at this point, I refuse to even interact with anything that's alpha or beta. I'm like, just call it early access and be fucking done with it. I don't want anything that's listed as anything else unless it's finished at the point, because the rest of these words have no meaning.
There are a lot of developers out there that actually understand the core definitions of these, but unfortunately, there's a lot of consumers out there that don't. It's like, hey, this alpha is garbage. It's like, yeah, it's an alpha, meaning that it works. No more, no less. It doesn't melt your fucking computer, and it doesn't totally blue screen of death everything. That's pretty much what an alpha is. It's not a completed AAA tier game. Anyways.
Nah, I don't know. Anyway, other news, Supermassive Games has been bought and acquired by Nordisk Games, not Nordic Games, not THQ Nordic, Nordisk. They are also owners of Avalanche Studios, Flashbulb Games, and Mercury Steam.
I'm just going to nod and pretend like I know all of those.
Supermassive, you know who Supermassive is, right? Dark Pictures?
Okay.
Yeah, them. They're bought.
Huh.
Yeah. Nintendo announced that Bayonetta 3 will be releasing October 28th. It will also be getting a special limited edition, and Bayonetta 1 is getting a standalone physical release for $29.99 on September 30th.
Cool.
I'm excited.
Hey. Oh, they did Until Dawn. That's why I've heard Supermassive.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes.
That was a great game, by the way.
No idea. I've never played it.
Really?
You didn't?
Yep.
It's
a PlayStation game. Of course I haven't played it.
I thought it was on PC. Well,
it is on PC.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I doubt my computer can handle
it. It's like, imagine playing a Telltale games where your choices actually matter.
I played one of the Dark Anthology games. So I and they also made those. So yeah. I know the gist of what it is. I've just never played it. I know it has something to do with Wendigos.
Yeah.
I think that's the right one.
No, but it's I wholeheartedly recommend it.
If I ever get a good enough computer to fucking play anything on.
Well, you know what you could get instead? You could get the Genesis Mini 2, which is releasing October 27th in the U.S. and will contain over 50 games. It will be an Amazon exclusive. So if you want the Genesis Mini 2 and all the goodies that come with that, we've mentioned some games in the past, some Sega CD titles. Yeah, it's going to be there. So.
Did they say what the price is?
I looked, and right now it's listed at $100. With like 20 shipping, because it's coming from Japan. But I don't know if they're going to have a proper American listing for it. I don't know what's going on.
I thought I had read that they were, that like it was going to be like an like there was going to be an American version too. Well,
yeah, it is the American version. I just don't know if they're going to have it from American Amazon.
Oh,
or if it's just going to be from Amazon Japan and ship direct. I don't know what they're doing. So this was yesterday when I checked, so they might have updated the listing by now, but I'm too lazy to check again. Ninja Turtle Shredder's Revenge has sold over 1 million copies so far.
Nice.
That's really
awesome
cool
to hear. Skate 4 is officially just called Skate, lowercase with a period. It will be free to play with cross-play, cross-progression. They claim there will be no pay-to-win, no paywall for areas, and no loot boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And that purchases will be cosmetic or convenience, and that's it.
Convenience. Oh, so pay-to-win.
not necessarily. It depends on what the mechanics in the game are and what you're paying for. So if...
To win. Paying to win.
You're paying to be able to level up faster, i.e. to get stronger than everyone else.
Well, you don't know what the mechanics... Are they going to have RPG progression? Are they going to... Like, what RPG progression is there in a skating game?
I have no idea. Unlocking...
I mean...
So I imagine the levels say. Up are basically just going to be cosmetics.
I mean, certain areas may also may not unlock until you get to a certain
level. They said no paywall for areas.
That's not necessarily a paywall. Mm,
them, I don't know.
Like, again, it might be like leveling up.
It's.
I don't know. We'll find out more in the future. But Nintendo announced Kirby's Dream Buffet for a summer 2022 launch, and it kind of looks like Kirby meets Fall Guys.
We lost someone, Joe.
Did we?
Yeah.
Who Havoc. Left? Oh, Doc. Uh-oh.
Get tired of listening to us. I don't blame him, but.
I mean, Peter might have crapped out.
Yeah,
maybe Apex came anymore. Back and raised hell. He's like, motherfucking Apex, I'm going to take you down.
Yeah, he's listed as offline. I guess his internet crapped out.
Yeah, well, when he gets
back. He'll be
back
when he gets back.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on the green room and see if he shows back up. Last bit of news I have is that Sony is launching a loyalty program with digital collectibles that are definitely not NFTs. It will be a free program launching later this year, and you can apparently use your points to get, again, digital collectibles or like PlayStation credit, DLC. They don't have any specific examples, just spitballing ideas, I guess, but... Yeah, a Sony loyalty program.
I just can't give a fuck.
They had Sony rewards, and they sucked.
I didn't even know they had any.
Yeah, okay. It took me fucking forever to earn any kind of money back. On the flip side, Xbox rewards, I get points shoveled up my asshole on a frequent basis.
Well, that's because you buy fucking everything.
Yeah, keep true. That in mind. But even still, all the quests that you can do and just earning achievements every day, you could get 50 points for earning an achievement every day.
Provided it works.
Yeah.
If it's early in the morning, don't do it.
Between like midnight and 6 or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah. Because that's usually when I think to fucking remember to look at it, and it's like, that's right, it doesn't work.
Yeah, but they have the weekly quests, they have the monthly bonuses. They have like 6,000 point bonuses if you buy a game, 4,000 point bonuses if you buy some movies. They're just always throwing points at you. And it's easy to earn stuff on Microsoft Rewards. I don't know how it's going to be on Sony. But
he's back, by the way.
Is he?
He's just not in it. Yeah, he's online. He and he's in the green room.
There he is.
That's my ISP being a shit.
Yay, ISPs.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yay!
I'm lucky I haven't had any issues with my ISP.
Really? I like that you say that, and because you were like kind of drifting off, it broke up a lot, and it just sounded like your internet was shitting out. It's like, I'm glad.
I'm glad I don't have issues with my ISP.
Yeah.
Anymore, anyways.
Anyway, that's the news I have. Jacob, what do you got?
Well, the delisted Metal Gear games will be coming back to digital storefronts pretty soon. Konami's confirmed.
That's good.
Yeah, I think that's about all I got.
That's Sonic it? 2 news. I finished Sonic 2.
Did you?
I actually watched it. Originally, when I saw the trailers and stuff, I wasn't sure I was going to like Idris Elba as Knuckles. Phenomenal, though.
How would you not like Idris Elba as anything?
True.
I didn't think I was going to like him as Knuckles. That's the only character I've ever not liked him as, but he grew on me very quickly, and I love that they brought back the original voice actress for Miles back to play Miles some more. It was surprisingly good. I actually really enjoyed it. There were some dumb parts to it, but overall, it was a really good movie. I was shocked.
That's for kids.
So?
And we are kids at heart, really.
90% of my movies are for kids. What the fuck do I care? Most of them don't have dumb parts to them.
Most.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of them. Not all of them, but most of them don't.
All right, well, Aki, do you have any news, or should we dive into reviews?
That's all I had.
Oh, I do have one bit of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie news.
Okay.
It has surpassed Uncharted on the worldwide box office by $100,000.
Nice. It doesn't shock me.
I'm going to say you make that sound like it's a difficult feat to accomplish.
No, Uncharted did pretty good.
Yeah, it made $401 million worldwide.
Just really? I completely forgot it was even a movie. I didn't even know it was released yet.
I forgot it was a movie, but that's because whoever plays Spider-Man, whatever the fuck his name is, that's not Nathan Drake.
No.
No. Like, I don't like anyone who's playing anybody in that. It's just like,
well, I think
not the person.
I think if memory serves, originally Uncharted was being thrown around back when Mark Wahlberg was young enough to have pulled off a quasi.
I thought it was.
I still think he looked good enough to play Drake.
Yeah.
I thought it was Nathan Fillion who wanted to play Nathan.
Oh, he wanted to, but they wouldn't cast him.
Yeah.
No way.
No, this is more like this was back when Hollywood wanted Wahlberg to play.
I would have been fine with Nathan Fillion doing it because I think.
Oh no! Like no, the moment you cast Nate Fillion in a legit serious Uncharted film, that is like money in the bank, hand over fist. Mm-hmm. It's gonna destroy the box office.
It would have
unless you go out of your way to get in your own way and tank the shit out of the movie, then blame the audience.
Like hiring Spider-Man to play Nathan. Yeah. That's the only way you drink it.
I'm not going to blame Tom Holland. He's a good kid.
I'm going to blame whoever decided that was Nathan. Yeah.
He's a good kid. Like I don't know how old he is, but he looks like he's 14.
I think he's actually like in his mid 20s.
Probably.
I think he's in his late 20s. I think he's 28.
But he looks like he's 14.
Yeah.
So I couldn't take him seriously as an action hero.
He's 26.
He is 26. 26.
Yeah,
he doesn't look anything like Nathan. It just doesn't fucking work.
Yeah. Well, Hollywood doesn't give a shit about that. Yeah.
Well, they fucking should. That's why fucking Sonic 2 beat it.
Yeah. No, like, if you want to take a deep dive down how clueless Hollywood is, look up Kevin Smith's story about Superman Lives.
Okay.
And what about it?
You remember way back when they were toying with the idea of a Superman film directed by Tim Burton starring Nicolas Cage?
Right. And Kevin Tim Smith Allen was going to be Brainiac. Well,
Kevin Smith has kind of like a special insight to that whole process because he was brought in to do a treatment for it.
Right.
And basically, like, the TLDR version is that, oh, shit, I forgot his name. Is it John Peters? Is that the producer? Hold on. I'm kind of half talking to myself.
Why don't we just say yes? Sure.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone's going to care.
basically, John Peters is fucking insane.
Oh?
Because when Kevin Smith approached him, he had three requirements for the Superman film. One, he doesn't fly. Two.
Fucking what?
Hold up. One, he doesn't fly. Two, he doesn't wear a cape. The suit looks stupid. And three, he has to fight a giant spider.
What?
I remember this.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I sent the link to Joe at one point, but like, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's on YouTube. It is.
Just enjoy it. Watch
it's
it.
It's a disturbingly, disturbingly insightful Smith, look in the process of Hollywood and how fucking clueless they are.
Well, I mean, the no flying part, that one I hadn't heard of, and that's just fucking weird. No cape. Yeah. Do I like it? No. But at the same time, it makes sense because Superman at the time, he didn't depending on what suit he was wearing.
Well, here's
the thing.
I am very generously paraphrasing what John Peters actually said because I don't want to drop controversial slang on this podcast.
Yeah. And we don't have 2 hours to go.
Basically,
over the whole thing.
He had a very, very strong opinion about how Superman looked in the super suit.
I mean, the super suit is really fucking stupid.
You just have to watch the video.
Yeah.
You know, for the sake of keeping things diplomatic and unoffensive and non-controversial, I don't even feel comfortable quoting exactly what he said.
For monetization reasons, we will move on.
Yeah. But not only is it a very funny story, the punchline at the end is absolutely hilarious. I'm not going to spoil it, but it, like I said, it just gives you a legit insight on how out of touch a lot of Hollywood producers are. So like whenever you see like a film adaptation of like a video game or of like a book or novel series, and it's just so far off base, you can't mentally conceive of how they fucked it up so bad. This story will give you a hint as to the type of idiots that are making these films.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Side note to get us back into video games. All right, you know, like when you're up on like the Google page and like there's the nine dots in the upper right hand corner.
Okay,
sure. You know, like where you can access like Maps, Google Play, the news, Gmail, all that kind of shit.
Okay,
I just found out that if you scroll down far enough, Stadia is on there.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah, I had no idea. Like, if you ever needed an example of like how little marketing Google did with Stadia. It's on their own fucking webpage, and I had no idea till just now, and it was all because I accidentally scrolled down.
Okay.
So how about those reviews?
Yeah. We ready?
Yeah.
We were born.
What is Google Stadia?
Yeah.
Now I can find out.
Just mentioning Stadia drags everything to a halt.
Yeah.
How does Google Stadia work?
Magic.
The more you say it, the I want to do anything.
Oh, you want something funny. Do you remember the Ouya?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, my buddy had one.
Kind of.
How about Amazon Luna?
No.
All right, we got to get to reviews. First game to talk about tonight is Matchpoint Tennis, developed by Taurus Games, published by Calypso Media, released July 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $49.99. Also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Your opponent is on the court and the crowd waits for a promising challenger for the grand finale. Are you ready for Matchpoint? Matchpoint Tennis Championships is a modern take on tennis featuring a true-to-life on-court experience supported by a deep career mode and a unique rivalry system. Jacob, tell us about Matchpoint Tennis.
So I haven't played a tennis game in years. I was a big fan of Top Spin for the old Xbox and what was it, Smash Tennis. So I was just like, heck yeah, let's pick this thing up. And thankfully, Matchpoint really wants you to get, like, if you haven't ever played a tennis game before, it's more than willing to hold your hand. If you haven't played a tennis game in a while, it's, you know, like the controls are very familiar. So thank God for that. And pretty much it's just you use your left stick to move around the court. And A, B, X, and Y are used for different kinds of shots that you're going to use. So pretty much the controls, very simple, easy to master, and the game itself, in terms of its difficulty, it lets you, you know, it takes you by the hand for most of the game. So with that, there is a career mode where there's a bunch of licensed players, but you don't get to actually be them. You have to make up your own character, which I was a little whatever by. And unfortunately, I didn't think that the character models were particularly, like, I didn't think that they looked particularly well made. And this ended up becoming like a very regular thing throughout the game. Like, just like, they obviously took their time for the humans in there. Almost none of them I've heard of, but I also don't really follow tennis, so whatever.
Fair.
But like, if you look at the people in the stands, like, it's about on par with like 2006, like Madden. They really didn't, you know, they're just like, oh, well, you're not really going to notice anybody. Yeah, when it's like the same person is like every third guy. But anyway, so you move up through the ranks and you get invited. Like, it has a bunch of, they're not mini games, but like little lessons and like warm ups for you to do before you start competing. And then if you get good enough, you know, you'll start competing elsewhere in the world. And it, like, there's tournaments you can enter all over the place. Whether you want to do it in North America, Africa, Australia, Asia, whatever. And so at least there's like a nice variety of things to look at. But the AI, it's just, I don't know. I just felt like it was either way too generous and like giving me like plenty of time to like line up my shots, or I felt like the AI was being like a cheap bastard. Like, there was no
middle
for ground. Me, it just never felt like there was like no middle ground. And as soon as like you're like, the game knows that, like, okay, you've passed all the tutorial stuff, it really started to ramp up the difficulty, which I didn't think was too much, but it was noticeable that it was just like, all right, there goes the training wheels, bye, have fun. And it's just, it's okay, it's serviceable. But I didn't find it to be anything like groundbreaking or mind blowing. If anything, it's a nice, like, I mean, it felt very average, which
I all about that.
You are the king of average.
But it's just, yeah, I don't know. I find like, last week how we commented on like, you know, like, oh, there's all these farming games that are now up for sale. You know, because the Lumberjack games come out. I noticed this week, like Xbox, it's like all of the tennis games are out for blood this week. Like, they're all on sale. I thought that was kind of interesting. But this game does have multiple modes that you can do. Of course, you can do singles. You can also do doubles. However, doubles doesn't carry over to online. And I thought that was a little odd. Like, because, I mean, like, if you're doing couch co-op, like, you should be able to do it, but I wasn't able to do that in the game, or at least find a function for it. So I'm hoping I was just looking in the wrong spot, but yeah, I mean, and when I was playing online, it was solid. I mean, it's just, it was tennis, you know? So
the good thing with this game is, despite the price tag, it's available as part of Xbox Game Pass. What are your thoughts on it being on Game Pass?
For Game Pass, definitely check it out. I thought it was a very serviceable tennis game.
Well, is like, it the best? What benefits do you see with it being on Game Pass? Like, what are your thoughts?
I don't know of any other tennis game that's on Game Pass right now. So, I mean, it provides a nice variety for the sports folks. And yeah, I mean, always, you know, branching out into different areas, you know, at least you can test out and see whether it's a genre that you like.
Yeah. Well, the game sits at $49.99. What are your thoughts as a whole?
If you've got Game Pass, I would definitely suggest trying it out. If you don't have Game Pass, I would say wait for a sale. This game's got potential. and hopefully the devs will continue updating it and making it look like a much prettier game, work on the controls a little bit. But it's not the best thing out there. And I'll be honest, like, as I was playing it, I was kind of just like, man, I think I'd rather just crack open Topspin on my original Xbox.
Sega Superstar Tennis.
Yo, that game was ace. I miss that game. I wish that thing was backwards. I wish that was backwards compatible.
Restart the program, Xbox, you sons of bitches.
Or Sega could just release like a remastered version.
That's asking a lot from Sega.
That is true.
Next game is called Renzo Racer, developed and published by Join Dots, released July 1st on Xbox One Series X and S for $24.99. Are you ready for some throttle-mashing, missile-blasting, kart-smashing fun? Renzo Racer is a fast-paced cartoon-style racing game challenging your maneuverability and driving skills to cross the finish line first. Jacob, tell us about your time with Renzo Racer.
Okay, so...
It's never good when I'm like, tell us about this game, and you're like, ugh. That worries me.
So... On the plus side, it's nice to see a kart racing game come out every once in a while that's not license-based, like, you know, the Nickelodeon Kart Racers, which we're about to get its third iteration later this year, or, like, just, you know, the ones that require, like, I mean, like, Crash has one, Mario obviously has one, but, I mean, like, we've seen tons of them over the years. I mean, like, hell, even Shrek had one way back in the day. Hell, one of the top rated iPhone games right now is actually a kart racer featuring like Family Guy and a bunch of other Fox stuff. So anyways, these are original characters. Okay. And pretty much they are anthropomorphic, you know, animals. And it's just,
that's what that word means. Yes.
Yeah, shut up. But you know, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, and so it's just like it's standard stuff. Like it's like somebody was just like, all right, well, I'm gonna design a cartoony looking duck, and here's a cat, and here's a dog, and there we go. And it's just, that's what they left it at. Like nobody, like none of these characters have any kind of like really distinguishing, like, you know, memorable things about them. And they just, yeah. And so it's just like, okay, here's your characters. Great.
I mean, now they claim that there's a selection of 16 comical personalities. Are you saying that is false? Are they not comical?
I did not find them to be comical. No.
That is disappointing.
Yes. But was really disappointing was pretty much the gameplay out of this game. All right, first off, like, one of the things that make kart racing games so good is all of the different power-ups. And if you don't have a wide variety of power-ups, then you're kind of, like, dead in the water right there. And that's one of the problems with this game. There are only, like, two or three power-ups. And first off, it's hard as hell to get them. Just, like, making your way across the track and, like, making sure that you're just perfectly lined up with one. I've never had a kart game that was like this finicky with like you being able to pick up a power up. And on top of it, the power ups are like shield, dash, and a missile, which has like the worst guidance system of all time. And it's literally just, it goes forward. So if you're going up a hill, like, it's just going to, like, off the hill and away. Like, it's never going to hit anybody. It's not like the shells in Mario Kart where it's going to stick to the track and just go fuck somebody up. And that, like, but if you're also like going down a hill and you fire, do you think it's going to go up the guy's tailpipe? Absolutely not. It's just going to blast in part in the ground in front of you. And then you just wasted a missile, which is okay because the missiles don't do anything anyway. During my time with this game, I literally hit one person with one.
Jeez.
Like, and it's just like the maps, they look nice. They look very nice. Whoever designed them, like, this is like, it's where the game shines. But the thing is that they all look like, you know, dollar, not, I don't want to say dollar store, but like bargain brand, like you know, you go to your mom and you're like, yo, I want to, like, I want Rainbow Road. And she's like, yo, we've got Rainbow Road at home, and fires up this game. This is what it is. It's just like, you've seen these levels before in much better kart racing games, but it's still the best looking feature of this game. And
does it handle well?
No,
no,
no, it does not. Like, it's not terrible, but it's not great either. It's fairly easy to win the games once you get into first place on a map. Like, I did not have any issue with that once I managed to get into first place. But getting to first place is a little bit of a fight. Which, like, again, you'd think, like, this is like, oh, all right, so it's a cool challenge, and it has a challenge. Yeah, but, like, again, once you get into first place, like, all you need to do is really just throw that shield up and or boost away, and you're gravy, because nobody can hit anything with the damn missiles. and it's not like the missiles are targeted, like, you know, like a blue shell in Mario Kart. Yeah, it's nope, not happening. Like, if you're in first place, just consider yourself untouchable.
All right, well, the game's $24.99. What are your thoughts?
I don't want to say no. Like, I really don't.
It's just because, a no with that price.
Yeah, and the thing is that it's just like, I can see potential in it. Like kind of like that, what was it called from a few years back? It was like All-Star Candy Racing or something like that.
All-Star Fruit Racing.
Yeah, All-Star Fruit Racing. I kind of view it in like that kind of thing where it's just like, you know, yeah, it's if you, this'll cure your itch, you know, if you're looking for a kart racing game at a bargain price. But like, I would just tell you to go with All-Star Fruit Racing at this price. Like, it needs a lot of work. And the positives really don't outweigh the negatives, unfortunately.
Yeah, well,
So no.
All right.
Unfortunately.
All right. Well, next game is Blade Runner Enhanced Edition, developed by Night Dive Studios and Westwood Studios, published by Night Dive Studios. Released June 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $9.99. Armed with your investigative skills and the tools of the Blade Runner trade, you'll be immersed in a world that lives and breathes around you with breakthrough lighting and visual effects. Your ability to survive will be put to the test in the richest game environment ever created. Jacob, what's going on in Blade Runner Enhanced Edition?
This is going to be the night of Jacob who does not have good things to say about a lot of things. So, I don't know if you folks have been following like the saga of this game's release, but Night Dive, which has been releasing a lot of like older, forgotten games. And honestly, like, I've, like, anytime that, like, their name shows up as, like, oh, this is coming soon from them, I'm like, yo, Joe, we need to go check that out. Like, I dug Power Slave. I dug that weird, like, motorcycle game. I forgot what the heck it was called. Like, and so when they announced Blade Runner, it was like, oh, cool. Like, this is a game I've heard of. I've never played. Barely know anything about it. But, yeah, let's fire it up. Like, for an enhanced edition of something, this looks like it was straight out of like 1997, and not in a good way. Now, there have been a lot of issues, and Night Dive has been very forthcoming about issues plaguing this game's creation. And pretty much when Westwood got bought out by EA, and during like the transition of everything, apparently like the entire source code to this game got lost. And so Night Dive has had to essentially rebuild the game from ground up, which is why everything is not like there are some backgrounds that are like in a resolution that just, it looks like complete crap, like on a modern console, because they couldn't render it any better. Like it's like, this is what you got, man. Like, it's not like we could go back with your, like, with some of these original textures. So that being said, this game needs a manual and it needs a game guide, which of course were things that came out back in 1997. But with this, this game is just really like, you know, hey, here's the world, go wander around and hopefully you can figure out how everything works. Cause yeah, we're not going to tell you.
Game design from 97. It's not.
Yeah.
Dropping into that cold turkey is not going to be a fun time if you did not grow up in that era.
Yeah, and well, and the thing Ian, is,
have you played this?
I grew up in the era.
Original? And yeah.
I grew up in the era, and I was just like, ugh, geez. This is definitely a game I think a mouse and a keyboard would definitely benefit Xbox users on.
Oh, you played it on console.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm playing the console release. Yeah.
Well, there's your problem.
Yeah, and it's not going well. So part of what made this game so fascinating back in the day is that you have to do all this real detective work, interviewing suspects, going to different places. And some of this stuff in the game, it ran on its own clock. And so it's if you weren't there at a specific time, you may not see something that you were supposed to see. You may not be able to talk to somebody that you were supposed to talk to. And so your investigation can be, completely shit out of luck with some parts, which I thought was a really, interesting concept for this. And so I was looking forward to it. But of course, knowing what the hell to do in this game, yeah, it's just all over the place. There's no guide. There's no nothing. And to make matters worse, thankfully, most of this is just talking to people, looking around, doing the actual detective work. There are points where you have to use a gun, and the game doesn't tell you jack shit about it. And God help you if you walk into the police, Hogan's Alley labyrinth maze thing, because it's just I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. And I'm getting shot repeatedly. It's just a really frustrating experience, unfortunately, on consoles. And I know Night Dive is really going into overdrive to try to make this a much better experience for everyone, but it's just I had high hopes for this, and unfortunately right now it's not delivering.
No, I have to ask, $10, what are your thoughts?
Part of my fear of this is that it's just is this game going to kill, Night Dive Studios? Because I love their mission of bringing back all these old games that, are essentially forgotten or nobody's really touched and nobody's touched a property in all this time. And it's just I really want them to keep doing this kind of stuff. But it's just
this one's not a winner.
It's not. At most, it's a try it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll come to Game Pass or something like that, but there's still a lot of work that needs to get done. And honestly, hand-holding with this game would have been such a boon. Just making a tutorial.
Yeah.
No, I get that. But the thing is, if this is going to be some sort of enhanced edition, there needs to be some sort of guide in the game that at least explains what you're going to do, how something works. And, hell, there's a freaking VoIP conf machine that you get, they can use to interview androids. And it is an absolute hell to use. I wish that this had gone better. I really do.
Yeah. Because the impression that I'm getting is that this game was, first off, always it was produced for PC. And in a manner of speaking, wasn't ever designed with the idea of it coming to a console.
I don't think it ever did, yeah.
Yeah. And when these guys, quote unquote, enhanced it and put it on the console, they did a very fast and loose, job of converting it over without really, the whole Hogan's Alley gun thing. I remember on computer, I remember how that kind of rolled out, but trying to imagine doing that on a console, where the developers kind of handled it shitty.
Yeah, and it's just and the thing is that people who have actually played this game way back in the day, they're freaking out because there's entire scenes that are missing. There are or were missing because I assume Night Dive has fixed it or is in the process of fixing it. Some people were saying there were issues with the backgrounds, there was there's a diner where the light was supposed to be blinking on and off. As part of the aesthetic, I had no idea. And I walked by it a bunch of times. I had no idea that this thing was supposed to be blinking on and off. because I never played it before. But it's just, you know, for somebody who had never played it, it didn't make me want to go further. And for those who have, it sounds like nobody's having a good time with it. So I'm hoping it gets fixed. I really do. Like, I really do.
Yeah. Oh, well, you got one more game to talk about. That is called Tori's 3D Platformer Collection, developed by Diplodocus Games and Cyactro, published by Diplodocus Games, released July 15th on Xbox One for $9.99. Tori and his friends invite you to jump through four colorful and varied 3D platformer games. Tori's 3D Platformer Collection includes the following four titles: Tori 3D, including Tori Jumbled Jam Extra Levels, Tori 2, including the winter-themed Extra Levels, Mac Bat 64, and Regina and Mac. Jacob, what's going on in this collection?
So, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a tad thrilled with this game, because for once, like, actually, let me back this up a little bit. So I follow like some game channels on TikTok, and a couple of them are like show off these, like, you know, cursed, you know, quote unquote, or haunted games and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, where the hell do you find these fucking games? Like, I've never heard of half of these things, because, you know, it's the youths, you know, and their newfangled titles. Like, there's some game where it's just like, you know, you go down a slide a bunch of times, and eventually, like, the land starts changing. And I'm like, this looks dope. I'd love to play it. And it's like, I don't know how the fuck you managed to get it. But anyway, so I actually saw this game like a few weeks back, and somebody was going on about like how this was like some haunted like Nintendo 64 game or some crap like that. And I was like, huh, that looks kind of like wacky. And then Joe's just like, hey, do you want to try this game? I was like, wait, I think I've seen this before. And it turns out I had. This was one of those games that, like, you know, as I said, the youths, you know, were playing and stuff like that. So finally, for me, an old man, this, like, it felt good to finally find one of these damn cursed games. So anyway, that being said, so these are very much retro-inspired platformers, inspired by, like, the Sega Saturn, Nintendo 64 era of these games, and they are very straightforward games. Like, it's, because it, like, the only way it's really skill-based is in the fact that the camera is absolute shit in a lot of the times. And so you're gonna have, like, the camera angle will never ever be perfect. It just, the sooner you understand and accept that, the better. And so what happens is that as you go through these games, like, the game slowly ramps up the difficulty in it, but then there's these like glitches that start happening, and like, you know, you're sliding down this thing, and all of a sudden you realize in the distance there's this huge mouth, and if you don't like time it right, you're gonna slide off and like land in that creature's mouth, like in the abyss of that. Or like on another level, like there's all these like little happy stars, kind of like the Super Mario stars off in the distance, but then like if you hop on this one platform, one of the stars gets very angry, and there's this like, I don't even know how to describe it, but like, it sounds like a technical, like a technical glitch kind of sound. And then like the star's face changes, and it, like, it looks really angry and foreboding, and like it starts moving closer to you. And if it touches you, then you die and you have to restart. And yeah. And so two of the games, like, it just, it's a constant wash, rinse, repeat of this kind of stuff. Now the other two, Mac and, I really want to call it Mac and Me, but I know that's not it.
Gina and Mac.
Gina and Mac are very much like Banjo-Kazooie titles. If this was like a very pre-alpha build of Banjo-Kazooie. And there's floppy disks that you have to collect on every single level, which are kind of like the jiggies from Banjo-Kazooie. And yeah, you just go through it. You deal with a crappy camera. You know, you get some urban legends about this being a haunted game, and you have a decent time. Like, for, it's $10, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for $10, honestly, you could do worse. But I had a fun time with it. I wish that there was more checkpoints in it, but, you know, that's part of the challenge. But they're serviceable, like retro inspired platformers, but I do like the creepypasta aspect of it, whether the game creators intended that or not.
Okie dokie. Sounds like a weird one.
It is a weird one. I mean, and obviously, I mean, like, obviously the game creators intended for, like, the quote unquote glitch guys, but I do appreciate, like, you know, the urban legends surrounding this, that it's like a failed Nintendo 64, you know, game. And, you know, I finally understand what the kids are talking about for once.
No, you don't. You'll never understand the children.
I know. My kid's been playing Minecraft and he's already like leagues ahead of me.
Yeah.
All right, and he just started yesterday. Yay.
You have any final words?
Nah, I'll let Aki say it this time.
I don't think she even cares about saying it anymore.
Farfig Newton, motherfucker.
She cares.
Okay, she does. All right, next game is Dragon Forge, developed and published by Legend Studio, released July 8th on Steam for $19.99. Become a powerful dragon and automate massive factories. Dragon Forge is an incremental base-building adventure game. Uncurse and explore a huge fantasy world full of quests. Gather resources and craft upgrades to become unstoppable. Discover over 100 fables of ancient wisdom at the Dragon Forge. Ian, tell us what is going on in Dragon Forge.
Oh boy. All right. Let's see here. So
that's a running theme tonight of like, tell us what's going on in this game. It's just the running theme tonight.
And it worries me. I'm looking at my bullet points and I'm realizing how long this list is. And I'm just wondering how I can get through this in an efficient manner. But yeah, Dragon Forge. So you play as a dragon so you play as a dragon and you are tasked with creating a medieval village in order to banish a quote unquote curse across the land. First and foremost, being a dragon feels completely arbitrary and borderline irrelevant. Like, you could very easily be whatever the hell fantasy insert you can think of and still make it work within the mechanics and the air quotes story, because the only story is that basically you get this little quote unquote history lesson that, like, once upon a time way back in the days of yore, dragons and demons had this big fight and the dragons lost and the demons cursed the entire land. Now you are the very last dragon and you must uncurse all the lands. Cool.
Yay.
yeah, but like, honestly, it's just something someone came up with within 5 minutes because they had to justify the game from a narrative perspective. So, you know, you can sit there and spend about 5-10 minutes creating this cute little dragon that is roughly the size of a postage stamp. So all of your customizations are
pointless,
pretty much pointless. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, I wish I could remember what a game was. Like, basically spending, like, imagine like an hour in like an MMO character creator, and then at the very end, it takes like a driver ID snapshot of your face, and that's all you see. So anyways, the land is cursed, and basically what it is it's just this giant fog that prevents you from accessing areas of the map. And in order to uncurse the land, you have to build up mana in a manner that basically makes it feel like an idle game, like Cookie Clicker. And I dove into this like cold turkey. Like, I didn't look anything up ahead of time or whatever. I just, you know, dove in face value. And it was one of those things where... Well, that'll teach you. Well, no. I mean, because I don't want to have... Like, because there have been times where, like, I've gotten a game that, like, I looked into it and I immediately, like, oh, I'm not going to like this. And I already have that self-fulfilling prophecy going into it. But, yeah. So at first, it didn't really seem that bad. Because it's like, okay, well, you're a little dragon and you have to build these human-sized buildings and everything like that. And therein lies a lot of the problems with the quote-unquote base building, because first and foremost, I would say the camera controls are terrible, but that would imply that they're actual camera controls. You can zoom in and out. That's it. No rotation, no panning, no tilting. The game kind of sort of does it on its own feel it has to, and this makes a lot of depth perception a very huge problem, because every now and again, you'll run into, like, a race challenge where you have to, like, run/fly around and hit these little checkpoint markers, but sometimes it's kind of hard to tell where the checkpoint marker is in relation to your dragon because you can't pan, you can't tilt. It's there, so it's like, is it above me in altitude, below me in altitude? Is it further back away from me? And in a time, you kind of half-assedly figure it out, the time's up and it disappears, so you have to do it all over again anyways. The controls are very sluggish and clunky. And as you play, you eventually kind of get like upgrades to movement speed and all that kind of stuff, but like it's still really, really clunky. Going back to like another thing that amplifies the lack of camera control problem is that there's no X-raying of physical objects. So like if your dragon runs behind a building,
you can't see, there's that
tactful camera clipping where like it'll, you know,
like show you a silhouette of everything behind.
There's none of that. If the buildings are too clustered, like I said, the camera will kind of shift itself to kind of look down almost on a bird's eye view. But the moment you're out in the quote unquote open, it goes back to the way it was. And also to add on to, you know, the rough movement is that you run around and you have to harvest up materials in order to build your buildings. But unfortunately, like any other game that uses this mechanic, you don't kind of have that aura of magnetism. Like, you know, like for example, if I run up and I knock down a tree, and pretty much 99% of any other game that does this, like if you run close enough, you'll vacuum up all the stuff that gets dropped on the ground. That is not the case here. You literally have to run over every single, each and individual piece of wood that drops off that tree, or else you're not going to pick it up. So you'll be sitting there running a lot of donuts to pick shit up, whether it's trees or whatever other resources.
Quality of life, people. It's the little things.
Yeah, and the long and the short of it is that basically your dragon moves like a military Humvee. I mean, it has the turning radius of a dump truck. And another thing that drives me batshit crazy is that it has, I forgot the specific term for it, it always skids to a halt regardless of how fast you move.
Mm.
So like it's like if you're running up to a certain point and you have to stop dead on that point, you're going to skid an extra 3 feet. And this is kind of a problem because there's like a stamina system that's used when you're flying or you're swimming. And if you run out of stamina while you're flying, you basically hit the deck and you're slowed for an X amount of time before it to recuperate. If you run out of stamina when you're swimming, you drown. In other words, you basically take damage over time until you get your ass to shore. So once again, depth perception is also a problem because you don't have like a convenient shadow marker indicating where you are hovering over the ground, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm looking at screenshots and I'm not seeing a shadow when the dragon's flying
like,
over areas.
Because usually like in like an action RPG or whatever, like if you're flying or whatever, you know, usually you'll have like a shadow on the ground indicating where you're going to touch down when you land. This does not have that. Which, you know, once again, goes back to the whole, like, for example, if you do a race challenge, trying to figure out where the fuck that, how to run or fly through that checkpoint marker is a pain in the ass because you have no frame of reference. Let's see, moving on. Building placement. You have to build a town, and building it sucks. It is terrible. The placement is static. There is no rotational input. There is no physical alignment input. Every time you go to build a building, it always magically appears to the northwest of your dragon. And if you can't physically fit your dragon on the location where you want to put your building, you can't put it there because technically you're down the hill or in the gully, and the game doesn't know how to register that. So, yeah, the town building is a pain in the ass. And basically, trying to uncurse the lands is kind of like this is where the biggest red flag came in, because how it works is you create a laboratory. Your laboratory will create these gems, and then you take these gems, you throw them in your altar, and it creates mana. Once you build up enough mana, you can run to a location and uncurse it and get more land to mess around with. One of the big red flags to me was that, like, I ran to this one, the first area after the tutorial, and it was like, you need about 500 mana. Okay, that's cool. And I went over to another area, and it's like, you need 3,000 mana. Like, okay, Cool. I can see how it's ramping up. I went to the next area. I needed 3.8 E to the 13th.
Jesus.
Yeah. This is where the idle cookie clicker thing comes in, because it very quickly ramps up into exponential figures and exponential notation.
That's ridiculous.
And
do you have the ability to buy stuff to make it go faster? Is that what they're trying to do with this? Or
no,
is it just
no.
a slog?
Like, basically, yeah, it basically, like, when I finally kind of, like, when all the red flags kind of came together and it just hit me, I'm basically playing a mobile idle game with interactive elements to keep me distracted while building up. Because, let's see, where is it? Where'd it go? Yeah, everything is progress gated, and the game is designed to continue playing even when you're not actively playing the game. So it expects you to take breaks from actively playing the game. And yeah, the amount of mana goes from hundreds to millions in literal exponential figures. I'm trying to, because, and I played this for a full stream length, so I played this for about 5 hours. I unlocked, I want to say, somewhere around 8 to 10 locations out of 88 total. And the most expensive one that I unlocked was like 14.5 E to the 36th. And that was like, and I'm not even technically a quarter of the way through the game. So jeez. In a matter of speaking, you have to kind of set up automation, because one of the things is that, like, you can hire these goblin guys to basically transport your shit from point A to point B and let the game essentially play itself after a while. But the problem is that the amount of goblins available hinge on, you know, you have to hire them with food. Basically, you get like a food recipe and you make enough of that food, you turn into the overseer guy and he'll give you a worker. The only problem is food recipes are only available based upon your progress. Your progress is hinged on how much mana you're farming, and how much mana you're farming hinges on how much you can transport. How much you can transport hinges on how many goblins you have available. So there are times where you're going to be waiting, and I mean like waiting, you know. And another problem is that given how little buildable land is available, the game low-key encourages you to build in other locations, but there's really no point if you don't have the automated workforce to provide for it. So no. You're kind of stuck in this one area, and it's just, ugh. And then on top of that, I'm scratching the surface, man. And then on top of that, there's combat. And combat is incredibly rough because, one, camera problems, two, movement problems, three, targeting problems. And you can play this game with, at least I played it on the PC, just putting it out there, and I noodled around with it with a mouse and keyboard, and I also noodled around with it on an Xbox controller. And I did notice that while the movement was a lot air quotes a lot smoother using a controller, targeting was a fucking nightmare, because it targets in proximity, and the problem is that everything is targetable, because you use your attacks to farm trees, farm ore, and whatever, but you also use your attacks to actually attack creatures. So if something's jerking off in the forest, you will most likely deforest the area before you start hitting what you're trying to hit. And another issue that I really fucking had was the boss fights, air quotes, boss fights. So I ran up to this one little goblin, and I started talking to him, thinking that he was going to give me some goofy little side quest. And he starts going in about how, you know, the area is being ruled by this giant, you know, or by this boss skeleton monster dude, and he's over in the next field, and, you know, you have to defeat him in order to continue on. Honestly, from what I've seen and what I've played, there is literally no mechanic backing the fact that you have to destroy these bosses. Side note. And like, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. You know, there's also an XP thing where basically your dragon progressively gets stronger and stronger. Feels very arbitrary, though. But anyways, as soon as I finished talking with this little goblin dude, the boss spawned right on top of me and immediately killed me in two shots.
Oh, God.
So the boss was not in the next field over. The boss was right there standing on my dick.
Jeez.
And it literally took me about 2 hours of playing before I was strong enough to defeat him. And eventually I ran into the same goblin again, but I forgot what his name was, so I didn't realize this was apparently the dedicated boss goblin. And he basically did the same exact thing. like, oh, hey, yeah, this place is ruled by a giant orc, and he's very fearsome and terrible and stuff. And I'm like, oh, shit, I can't cancel out of the conversation. And sure enough, the giant orc dude literally appeared on top of me and killed me in one hit.
God.
And there was also this really weird glitch where it looked like he had, like, this jumping lunge attack where he kind of, like, jumped a distance to hit me, but then had no backup animation to reset himself, so he just immediately rubber banded and it looked like a giant glitch. So it's really, really fucking weird. You know, the graphics themselves didn't look that bad. I mean, they were all right. I mean, honestly, it was kind of colorful and whatnot. The main music was actually surprisingly really good, really nice, really chill, and I was actually really looking forward to hearing that kind of music in game, but you don't. You get a day-night jingle whenever, you know, morning comes or sunset comes, and the only music you ever hear is very oddly specific music when you run into a town location. But the moment you step out of that town location, it goes dead silent, and that's it. You just kind of hear your goblin workforce in the distance yipping up and wahooing and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I mean, like, just in the end, it's like, basically you're playing an idle clicker game with some very poorly implemented interactive elements to keep you distracted from the auto grind.
No.
And it's like, if this concept was handled well enough and executed well enough, I could actually see how this would be a very interesting game, because while the idler is idling, there could be a lot of nifty little things that you yourself could be doing with your dragon character as you explore the land and do little quests and stuff, but it just feels very surface level. And I kind of feel bad because I know this, like, because I don't know how many people developed this. I know it's a very, like, a small kind of indie kind of group or something, but I hate to kind of poop on them, but it just kind of feels like someone had the really interesting and compelling idea. Well, let's take a clicker game or an idle game and put in interactive elements to kind of make it a little more compelling to play. And then they just kind of half-assed it the rest of the way.
So, oh, man. Well, the game's sitting at $20 on Steam. What are your thoughts of it?
No.
No. What would you do to improve it?
Well, aside from the, oh geez, like, there's so much quality of life that this game needs. Like, it, like, if someone told me that this was an alpha, I'd be a lot more forgiving. But this is a finished product.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even technically early access. Like, this is what it is. And that's why I'd have to say, like, a hard no. If I knew for a fact that, like, these guys were going to be cleaning it up, if I knew for a fact that they were going to be implementing a buttload of quality of life changes to really smooth things out, to really polish things out, I mean, I would give it a very tentative try. But, like, if it is what it is and that's all it's ever going to be, I'd have to give it a fuck no.
All right. Well, that's a bummer to hear. It looked interesting. I think it's coming to console later on in the year, so maybe they'll make some more, like, control adjustments and fine-tune things. Yeah. We could always take another look at it if it gets updated. So
yeah, because I mean, I don't know, like, if these guys are, like, proactively working on it as we speak, but if, like I said, if this is the finished product and they're never going to touch it again, avoid it.
Sounds good. All right, well, Ian, that is it for you. Thank you so much for joining us and coming on and hanging out with us. We love having you on. I know. Yay. I'll see you later on this month for BidGen. That's going to be fun.
Yay.
Do you have any final words before we move on?
No, not really. Just stay classy, yo.
Cool beans. Have yourself a good one.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right, next game is Escape Academy, developed by Coin Crew Games, published by IM8-Bit and Skybound Games, released July 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Also available as part of Xbox Game Pass, a deluxe edition is available for $34.99 and includes the Season Pass, which will have two DLCs each with five new rooms. Welcome to Escape Academy. Train to become the ultimate escapist. Solve puzzles, hack servers, meet the faculty, brew the perfect cup of tea. Escape rooms in single player or co-op with a friend, local or online. Aki, tell us about your time with Escape Academy.
Okay. Buy it. Just buy it. Everyone buy it. Buy it now. Go buy it. Buy it. You can pause this. Go buy it. Buy it.
We need a little more information. Like, what do you do in the game?
You just buy it. Yeah, pretty much. You go buy the game. Yeah. Mussus, it's a first person escape the room type game. You have to solve little puzzles to figure out how to get out of the room.
So an escape room game, you have to escape the room.
Yeah.
You're making this sound really complicated.
I know, right? Any of you seen an escape room before? It's that.
How does it work as a, like, everyone knows what escape rooms are, but how does it work as a cohesive story? How do they link everything together?
Well, in the first level, you've just paid to go to an escape room. You're like, hey, I like escape rooms. I heard this place was an escape room. Maybe it'll be fun. You go there. It's a fucking piss take. It's so pathetically easy. To such a point, I can beat it in under a minute. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I can beat it in under 30 seconds at this point.
Doesn't matter. Point.
Yeah. Yeah. No. None of this is a matter. I can beat the game in under an hour. you solve it, and bam, you unlock more to this escape the room, because something just seems fishy. And then suddenly you find the underground, and you find the access to the Escape Academy, a school that specifically trains escape artists, basically. And because you solved this, you get to join. So have fun. And that's literally all they teach. It's just escape room after escape room. In order to basically become an official student, you have one or two little things you have to solve, other escape rooms with various other teachers. And then it's all about basically doing the homework, which is more escape rooms. And yeah, you even get a little rival in there for a very small amount of time. This really arrogant bitch with blonde hair.
I remember her.
Yeah, you didn't even have to sit through half of her shit. She's irritating. Yeah.
Visually, the game has a very distinct visual style. It's got like an animated cartoonish look, but not at the same time.
Yeah, its style is very much like kind of like a comic book, but with more colors in it, to me. So it's kind of like a cartoon mixed with a comic book. It's very nice. It works perfectly for this game. I absolutely adore it. All the characters are interesting and weird in their own right. You know, you get the main teacher, the principal, who just is like, do whatever, just have fun. You'll learn to escape on your own. Oh, by the way, this room, if you don't get out of it within the time limit, you're going to lose your memory. Have fun, kids. And then there's the janitor, who's a bumbling fool, someone in his family helped create this place or something, so he's still there, but he works as a janitor because he's too stupid to solve any of the actual escape rooms himself. And you end up having to escape a room because he's a bumbling fool, and it's fantastic. Just every single level is just another escape the room thing, and some of them have time limits, but they're all very generous. Lots of them are like, oh yeah, this is a 3-star, you have 15 minutes. Oh, this is a 4-star, you have 20 minutes. Oh, this is a hard one, you get 30 minutes. And even with, even if you're not particularly good at these, it's not that hard to figure them out. You will beat them within the time limit the first time, and then you can immediately replay it and get an even better time because you can memorize it. I've memorized the entire fucking game.
You have, and it's kind of impressive that, like, you've learned it so quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. After I beat it one time, I went back, and I immediately just remembered how to solve it. And then I ran Joe through the entire game later, like a few days later.
Yep.
And I was just like, I still remember most of this. There's, like, two of them I was like, But yeah, it's, I really enjoy this. The only, you know, downside to it is obviously once you've solved it, you know how to fucking solve it.
Yeah.
It doesn't get changed up. These are all specifically made. They're not procedurally designed. Yeah,
they're all handcrafted. There's not much for replayability. You're just going to have to wait for DLC to come out. So the game's $20. It has a deluxe edition for $35 with the DLC.
Get the deluxe.
I didn't even get to finish asking your thoughts.
I love this game. Get the deluxe. I really hope they'll give us the season pass. I really want that season pass now. I didn't know for a fact that it had a season pass because I didn't actually realize it had a deluxe edition until you said that. But once I beat the game, it says the end of year one. I was like, oh, that must mean they're planning DLC. So I really hope we get the season pass because I want it so bad. I want more of this. I love this game. This was my favorite game.
Nice. So hopefully when more comes along, we'll be able to take another look at it. But for now, at $20, your official verdict?
Yes. Yes. Everyone go buy it. Buy it now. Give these people all your fucking money. Give them all of it. Your kids' college fund. Hand it over. just give them money.
And if you're poor, it's on Game Pass. Or if you're broke, you don't have the money, you're in between paychecks, fire up Game Pass, play it on there, and then buy it when you can.
Yeah, yeah. If you're just like, I don't know if I want this, or, oh, I don't have the money for this, if you have Game Pass, you can beat this in a few days.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it took me like 8 or 9 hours the first way through, and that was it. So.
And now you've got under an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Proud of you.
And that's with me fucking up a bunch, too, because I fucked up in a few of those, and one of them cost a lot of time. The rival one. Oh, that one cost us so much time because I fucked that same puzzle up like 3 times in a row.
GG.
I hate that puzzle. It's the only puzzle in that entire game I hate.
No. Before like every puzzle near the end of the game, you were like, I fucking hate this puzzle. Next one, I fucking hate this puzzle. Next one, I fucking hate this puzzle.
That's because they took so long. There's only really two of them I don't like. It's that one with the shapes and the rival one and that door. Because I can never remember how to open that fucking door properly. Like, that's the only puzzle. I just don't immediately have the solution in my head. I always have to play it, and it takes me forever because I don't know how to do it.
Oh, well. Next game is Gloom and Doom, developed by Neo to Goal Games. I don't know. Published by Viridian Software, released July 5th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $39.99. Depressed Wraith is trying to earn his way back into heaven by hunting demons. After killing demons for 500 years, his final mark is a girl who believes she will cause the end of the world. Aki, what's going on in Gloom and Doom?
Okay, this is a visual novel. Just straight up, it's a visual novel. You do get to make choices in it that impact the story to varying degrees. You see most of the game through the eyes of either Gloom, a wraith who, as stated, kills demons, or through a human girl named Gwendolyn or something like that, who refers to herself as the Doom Bringer, hence Gloom and Doom. Which is, once I realized that, it was really cute. yes, Timber, we have tried Escape Academy. I just reviewed it. And if you need help, add me on Xbox. I will run you through it literally after this is done, the entire game, if you want.
She will.
Do it in about an hour.
Gloom and Doom. Focus on...
It's so hard. Escape Academy is being talked about. I really... Anyways, both of them are kind of depressive, and by kind of depressive, they're really fucking depressing individuals. Gloom wants to get to heaven, and he has spent the past 400 years, is what they say in-game, but apparently on the description they say 500 years, killing demons. More demons than any other angel has ever even remotely come close to. In order to win his way back to heaven through the Archangel Michael, who in case no one else has ever seen a media about biblical characters, Michael always seems to be the asshole angel. I'm just throwing that out there. This does not change that. He's the asshole angel. He looks and sounds like a douchebag. And lo behold, he's kind of a douchebag. but he's fighting to help you get in and just making you kill and kill and kill. And that's your entire life is killing and waiting and killing and waiting. Because it doesn't take you any time to kill these demons. So you sit there for sometimes years at a time waiting just for something to fucking do while trapped in the shitty house because you're a wraith, which means you're kind of a ghost thing with a skeletal face and people freak out when they see you. So you can't interact with the fucking world because humans are always like, oh, no, it's death or whatever. So he's just trying to get to heaven because this is his penance. His atonement is doing all the shit to get back to heaven. And his next little task is to kill a demon of fire and ice. And then you meet Gwendolyn. Just a human. Just a very depressed young girl. Young teenage girl. Very, 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 very depressed young girl. Her parents died when she was a child. She gets the shit beat out of her in school. Her parents fight all the time. She has a dead-end-go-nowhere job at a movie store like Blockbuster. She's just not a happy person. She's sad. And she hates her life. Oh, and she can't die. And she knows that for a fact. She's jumped off of 30-plus story buildings and survived. Fun. Yeah. And every night she has a nightmare about bringing the world to its end. So, and literally every night since she was a baby. So she's like, no, I know this is a fact. I can't die. I know I need to die or the world's going to end. I don't know why. I don't know how. I'm not a bad person. But obviously, if I stay alive, the world is doomed.
Yeah, so well, she's clearly going out- don't get into that part of the story. But yeah, what's the gameplay like? What are you doing it?
It's a visual novel. You'd really just.
Is it like a static visual novel where you just read it or are there choices to make?
There's some choices. Most of them change attitudes towards certain people, but not the overall story. There are some that pull the track from the standard track to a sinner track, and they're not actually by committing very many, if any, sins. It's kind of just an arbitrary set of things that if you do these, you are now a bad person, even though most of them aren't bad. And that sends you to a path that gets a couple ends, but all the other paths get this other, or the other path gets all these other ends. There's 7 technically completely different ends, but one of those ends also has 2 variants. So there's 8 endings in total that you can get. And 2 of them are for the center path. 1 is an early end and all the rest are for the standard path. And one of them is considered canon. Matter of fact, after you beat the game in the credits, the characters will talk to you. And it's really funny. And one of the characters will actually tell you, oh, you got this ending. You might want to retry it and get a different ending because there's more endings. Yeah, yeah. Sadly, all the rest of the characters talk about the same stuff. It would have been really funny if each ending they talked about different things. But once you want to actually read through the entire credits because the shit they say is fucking hilarious. Their interactions are really genuine as well. Like, I really like how the game went through stuff, because Gloom ends up being kind of a father figure for Gwen, and it just becomes really heartfelt, and it can get kind of emotional.
Feels like you're giving away spoilers.
Not really. And yeah, so, you know, it pulls on your heartstrings. It will probably make you cry a bit.
It pulls on your heartstrings. It also pulls on your purse strings because it's $39.99. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a bit much for me. Had this been like $20, $25, I'd be a lot more for that. So I say maybe on a sale, I would suggest it quite a bit more. But it's a good game. If you have the money and you don't mind spending it on this, you're not going to go wrong. It's a very good game.
Cool. And otherwise, throw it on a wish list and wait for a sale.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Final game to talk about tonight is True Fear Forsaken Souls Part 1, developed by Goblins.com, published by the Digital Lounge. This Part 1 released January 31st on the Xbox One for $9.99. True Fear Forsaken Souls combines the best of psychological thriller with intuitive gameplay mechanics for a mind-bending mystery escape game. If you're looking for a horror game that doesn't sacrifice the story, this is the game for you. Aki, was it the game for you?
It wasn't bad. I didn't find it particularly scary. You play as a young woman. I guess I should point out this is a hidden object puzzle point and click game, like all the Artifacts Mundi games. So that's kind of important. And you play as a young woman who has a nightmare one night about a hospital, everyone dying in a hospital. And suddenly you're awoken in the middle of the night with someone having a letter for your sister that, and she's like, come meet with me. I have some stuff that we need to talk about, et cetera, et cetera. And they're the only two members of their family that are still alive anymore. They don't know who their father is, and their mother died when they were young, and then their grandparents died later on, sadly. One from heartbreak from the other one dying. It was so sad. Anyways, so you go and you go to meet your sister and you don't find her and you have to figure out what's going on. And I can't say a lot more about it because that much more about it will go into spoilers. So I can't really talk much more about that story. The hidden object puzzles in this are very different. Can be very different from the Artifacts Mundi games. Artifacts Mundi usually has two different type of puzzles in it. They have puzzles where you have to set things together and use those to open other stuff in the puzzle in order to get an item. And they also have a proper hidden object puzzle where it's like, oh, find this item, this item, this item, all these other 25 fucking items. And then once you find them all, they're like, okay, here's the thing you need that has nothing to do with any of the shit you just found. That was just busy work. Have fun here. Here's the item you need for your puzzle. This game allows you to decide which type of those puzzle you want to do. And they call one a hidden object puzzle because that's what the one where you find a bunch of random crap. That's what that technically is. That is a hidden object puzzle. And then they call the other one where you, you know, use items and stuff to find the thing you need. They call that an adventure puzzle instead. And you can switch it at any time you want, even in the game. You can switch it between the two to determine what you want to be solving all these puzzles as. If you want to beat the game without spending like three times as long in it, you want to make it the adventure puzzle. Those are a lot faster to solve. It's like, oh, find the 8 keys that are in here. That's it. And that's what you need to do. It's like, okay, yeah. Versus find this list of like 15 different items that are hidden amongst all this junk. One of those is a lot faster than the other. So I totally suggest going into adventure. And you want to do that before you start the game. I don't know if you can actually change it while you're in the game itself, or if you have to be on the main menu, switch it back and forth anymore. This also comes with the DLC, because this is technically the enhanced edition, and it comes with just a little piece of DLC that takes up at the insane asylum that you had your nightmare about in the beginning of the main game. You go there in the DLC, and I can't really tell you anything about that without ruining the main game as well. Yeah. So.
Well, the game is it's $10. It is part one of a trilogy. We'll be talking about part two next week on the show. What do you think about $10 for part one?
I think that's worth it. You know, you get the main game and the DLC, and I played through it twice. because lots of the achievements in this are related to getting the achievements in the game. And there's an achievement for getting all the achievements. But in the game, the achievements are per profile that you create in said game. So, like, one of the achievements is for beating the main game on expert. You can't replay the game after you've played it once on that profile. You have to create a new profile in the game to do that. Yeah, it's one of those. It's an old, old way Artifacts Mundi used to do this, which thankfully they got rid of that. Sadly, this company did not learn from that concept. So you have to get all the achievements in one sitting in order to get that achievement for getting all the achievements. Jeez. So, yeah. So I had to replay the main game twice because I missed like two items that I needed to collect. But both times it took, I think the second time it took me like 5 hours. The first time took me like 7-ish. So yeah, I think for $10, you're getting your money's worth with that. It's decent. It's not super scary. I mean, if you have kids, you probably don't want to play it around young kids because it's probably scary enough that it might mess with them. But as a teenager and adult, this isn't particularly scary. It's decent, though. Its story isn't, you know, the most amazing thing on the planet, but it's a good time waster.
Ooh.
So yeah, I'm for it, especially at $10. Yeah.
Works for me. All right. We made it through. We are done. It has been another fun, action-packed episode of banter and shenanigans, and we are at the end.
Yep. Now, everyone, you can leave here and go buy Escape Academy. Go buy it now.
I mean, first you got to listen to the song because we have a song at the end of the show. So make sure
you can come back for the song. Just go buy Escape Academy.
I'm trying to find something that has tennis in it because we did a match point tennis. I have a song off of Tribute Album 64 called Wow, Much Point, So Tennis, Advantage by Fisherman's Horizon. We're going to listen to that. And any final words?
Yeah. Timber, add me on Xbox. Same screen name as in here. It's Dark Mikas and Fire. Just go add me. I will run you through the entire game tonight if you want. I am fine with it. And yeah, otherwise, yeah, go get the games that I reviewed today. All of them were good. Just go get them all. They're all good. Do it. I demand it. And anyways, I'll talk to you later.